Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a podcast on a gluon. And this is the stuff inside protons and neutrons that stick the quarks together. They're a fundamental particle, similar the way that electrostatics, light, is a force of light is transmitted by photons. A gluon is a much more powerful force. So photons is the force which mediates, which you summon up to mediate the electromagnetic force. A photon exchange between particles constitutes a force. A gluon constitutes a force, and to see how a gluon operates. Here we've got in Feynman diagrams, emitted gluons are represented as helices. In this diagram depicts the annihilation of an electron as a positron. I don't quite see how that's happened, but we'll have a look. A gluon is an elementary particle that acts as an exchange particle, a gauge boson. So these are particles which are made up of it's an elementary particle. It's not a fundamental particle, it's an elementary particle. For the strong force between quarks is analogous to the exchange of photons and the electromagnetic force between two charged particles. In layman's terms, they glue quarks together, forming hadrons, much such as protons and neutrons. So this is something I'm really unaware of, is how photons exchange between two particles. It's more a mathematical exchange, I suppose. In technical terms, gluons are vector gauge bosons, that is, rather than scalar gauge bosons. And so a boson has got a simply spin, zero integer spin, and the gauge there, so it means it's associated with a symmetry force that mediates strong interactions of quarks in quantum chromodynamics. Chromodynamics is where you've got spin up, spin down, charge, plus, minus, charge. Quarks have a red, green, and blue charge. Gluons themselves carry a colour charge of the strong interaction. This is unlike a photon, which mediates electromagnetic interaction, but lacks electric charge. So, does a photon carry a charge? I suppose if you've got a gluon converting a neutron to a proton, it would carry a charge with it. I wonder how that does it? Because I don't know, I quite understand. Okay, let's go into it. Gluons therefore participate in strong interactions in addition to mediating it, making QCD significantly harder to analyze than quantum electrodynamics QED. So the force that's mediating is the actual same as the self and the same thing. So I wonder if how you do up and down quarks. I don't know if they are. Properties. The gluon is a vector boson, like the photon. It has a spin of 1. While massive spin 1 particles have 3 polarization states, massless gauge bosons only have 2 polarization states, because gauge invariance requires polarization to be longitudinal to direction to that which the gluon is travelling. Or you say if the photon isn't travelling, the photon's resonance is not 0. In the quantum field theory, unbroken gauge invariance requires the gauge boson to have 0 mass. Experiments limit the gluon's rest mass to less than a few MeVc. The gluon has a negative intrinsic parity. So this is heavy to go. So a gluon doesn't have any mass. So what is actually inside a gluon? Unlike, they mediate They're not quarks, but they mediate. There's something that mediates the colour. Unlike a single photon, QED, or the three W and Z bosons of the weak interaction, there are eight independent types of gluon in QECDs. These may be difficult to understand intuitively. Quarks carry three types of colour charts. Antiquarks carry three types of anticolour. Gluons may be thought as carrying both colour and anticolour. This gives nine possible combinations of colour and anticolour gluons. So a gluon carries a colour and an anticolour. Okay, so it could be red, anti-red, anti-green, anti-blue, green, anti-red, anti-green, anti-blue, and stuff like that. But these are not actual colour states of the observed gluons, but rather effective states. To collectively understand how the enhanced, it's necessary to consider a mathematical colour change in more detail. So what exactly is a gluon? A gluon is a vibration of the strong force. So a gluon isn't a quark, it's a strong force wave, like light, I suppose. Okay, so it's not at all be surprising that in general we find that the mathematically easy to define S&P states, we have hybrids of it, so we can probably have hybrids of it. It's often said that a stable, strongly interacting particle, such as a proton or neutron, i.e. hadrons, observed in nature, are colourless, but more precisely, they are colour singlet states, which is mathematically analogous to a spin singlet state. Such a state allows interaction with other colour singlets, but with no other colour states, because of the long-range gluon interactions cannot exist. This illustrates the gluon in a singlet state do not exist either. So the gluon cannot exist in a singlet state. Okay, now let's try and work this out. It is often said that a stable, strongly interacting particles, I don't know who says it, such as a photon, such as a proton or neutron, i.e. hadrons, observed in nature are colourless. But more precisely, they are a colour singlet state, i.e. not the colourless, that the colour adds up to zero state, which is mathematically analogous to a spin singlet state. That is, there's no net spin if you've got two electrons in there, so it goes there. Such states allow interactions with other singlets, but not with other colour states. I don't know what that word means. Because long-range gluon interactions cannot exist, this illustrates that gluons are singlet states and do not, in singlet states, do not exist either. Well, I can't see how they could have a singlet. The colour singlet state is red, anti-red, blue, anti-blue, green, anti-green, square root of 3, which sort of makes sense. So that's a colour singlet state. In other words, if one could measure the colour state, there would be an equal probabilities of red, anti-red, blah, blah. So there are 8 colours. That remaining independent colour states, which correspond to 8 types or 8 colours of gluons, because they can be mixed together as discussed above. There are many ways of presenting the states, which are known as colour octets. A commonly used list is this. Okay, so you can't have... so you could have, for a gluon, you could have just two things. That's... Okay, now, unlike single photon QED, there are 8 independent states. So there's only one state of these bosons. These have independent states. Okay. So they carry the state, but they're not gluons. They're not quarks. So you can have different ones of phase, anti-phase of a whole series of two amazingly combination complex numbers. Give you one, the complex number I into R anti blue minus blue anti R divided by 2 is a state. Is it sort of like, you can imagine some sort of vector, spinor vector for all this. These are equivalent to the Gell-Mann matrices, as it said. The critical feature of these particular eight states is that they are linearly independent, and so independent of other singlet states, hence 3 squared minus 1 or 2 to the 3. There's no way to add any combination of these states to produce another. Yeah, okay, so I can sort of understand that. Whereas you could produce it. So that's a standard singlet state. So of the 9 combinations, 1 would be annihilated because it's definitely just the antimatter, a proton. Or proton or neutron. Let's say what sort of quark it is. So what are they? They are vibrations of... A gluon is a vibration of the strong force, similar to a photon is a vibration of the electromagnetic field. There are many other possible choices, but all are mathematically equivalent, at least equally complicated, and give the same physical results. Technically, quantum chromodynamics is a gauge theory of SU3 gauge symmetry. Okay, so an electron is SU2, SU3 gauge symmetry. Does that mean what does that mean? Do you have to rotate? Guess U2, you have to spin twice. You have to rotate it 3 times to get there. Quarks were introduced as spinors of NF flavors, each a fundamental representation, three color gauge group SU3. The gluons are vectors in the adjoint representation. Octets denoted as 8 color SU3. For general gauge group, the number of force carriers like photons and gluons is always equal to the dimension of the adjoint representation. For the simple case of SUN, the dimension is the representation of n squared minus 1, whatever that means. In terms of group theory, the assertion that there are no color singlet gluons is simply a statement that the quantum chromodynamics has SU3 rather than special U3 rather than U3 unitary symmetry. U3 symmetry. There are no known a priori reason for one group to be preferred over another, but as discussed above, the experimental evidence supports SU3, so special gauge 3. And I think I've got a special unitary. SU means special unitary. I don't know what special means. U1 group for an electromagnetic field combines a slightly more complicated group of SU2 minus S stands for the S stands for special, which means that the corresponding matrices have a determinant of plus 1 being in addition to being unitary. So it's to do with the matrix and stuff like that. So SU is special. A bit beyond me. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to understand this as much as you. Confinement. Since the gluons themselves carry color charge, they participate in a strong interaction. The gluon-gluon interactions constrain color fields to strong-like objects like flux tubes, which exert constant force when stretched. Due to this force, quarks are confined within composite particles called hadrons. Yeah. So essentially your tube would break if you try to get it out. The force would break. Can understand that. This effectively limits the range of the strong interaction to 10 to the minus 15 centimetres. So that's a femtometer, roughly the size of the atomic nucleus. Beyond a certain distance, the energy of the flux tube binding the two quarks increases linearly. At large enough distance, it becomes energetic and more favourable to pull anti-quark pair out of the vacuum rather than increase the length of the flux tube. Okay, so essentially the energy density of that tube increase. If you could, it would increase so much to produce quark anti-quarks rather than extend it. Gluons also share the property of being confined within hadrons. A consequence is that a gluon is not directly involved in the nuclear forces between hadrons. The force mediators between these hadrons are called mesons. Okay, so I understand. A meson is a quark-antiquark pair, but inside a hadron. So inside a nucleus, the force inside the nucleus is meson, which would add up there. I can't see how that, fortunately, doesn't add to the mass, but the gluons actually add mass. They're massive. But is there a mass of a gluon? I don't know. Okay, so that makes sense. That's a piece of the puzzle I didn't know. That the nucleus, the neutrons and protons stick within each other by meson exchange. That's quark-antiquark. But a gluon is a vibration in the strong nuclear field. But the vibration has a symmetry similar to the electric field has a symmetry of polarization. Although the normal phase of QCD single gluon is not may not travel freely, it is really that there exist hadrons that are formed entirely of gluons, called glue balls. Wow, so there's no quarks in it, it's just glue balls. There are also computers' conjectures about exotic hadrons in which real gluons, as opposed to virtual ones found in ordinary hadrons. Well, they are virtuals, aren't they? Because they're sucked out of nothing. They've got equal amount of antimatter with matter. It's anti-blue, it's not antimatter, it's yeah. Okay. As opposed to virtual ones found in ordinary hadrons, would be primary constituents. Beyond the normal phase of QCD, the extreme temperatures and pressures, quark gluon plasmas form. In such a plasma, there are no hadrons, quarks and gluons become free particles. Okay, would that be a very high temperature? High pressure. Quarks and gluons, coloured, manifest themselves by fragmenting into more quarks and gluons, which then hadronize to form normal colorless particles, correlated jets. As shown in the 1978 summer conferences, the Pluto detector and the electron positron Doris Desi produced the first evidence of hadronic decays in very narrow resonances, the Y946, which will be interpreted as three jet event topologies produced by three gluons. So I don't know whether the topologies were produced together or the different gluons produced different things. By three gluons, one or eight gluons. Later published analysis by the same experiment confirmed the interpretation and also the one-spin nature of the gluon. Okay, well, most things producing it have got spin one. Spin one just means it carries incredibly H on two. It's got an angular momentum. That's just mind-blowing. And in the summer of 1979, the higher energies at the electron-positron Petra, Desi again, three jet topologies were observed, now interpreted as Q-Q gluon bremsstrahlung. Oh, a quark, a meson gluon bremsstrahlung. Bremsstrahlung means breaking radiation. So they're stopping producing, yeah, as clearly visible by the Tasso Mark J Pluto experiments, later in 1980 Jade. The spin 1 of the gluon was confirmed again in 1980. In 1991, subsequent experiment of the LEP storage ring at CERN again confirmed this result. Gluons play an important role in the elementary strong interaction between quarks and gluons, described in QECD and studied particularly at the electron-positron quartet of Hera and Desi. The number of momentum distribution of the gluon in the photon-gluon density has been measured by two experiments. So, but the thing is that they had electrons scattering off gluons. That's pretty bizarre. Okay. H1 and Zeus in the years 96 to 2007. The gluon contribution to the proton spin has been studied. by the Hermes experiment at Hera. The gluon density in the proton and behaving hadronically has also been measured. Well, there you go. So it has a contribution to the gluon, the proton spin, but the, surely they're talking about the moment, the magnetic moment, because the spin is quantized. Color confinement is verified by the failure of free quark searches, searches of fractional charges. Quarks are normally produced in pairs, quark antipark, to compensate for the quantum color and flavor numbers. However, Fermilab's singlet production of top quarks has been shown technically it still involves a pair production, but quark and antiquarks are different flavors. No global has been demonstrated. Deconfinement was claimed in 2000 CERN SPS in the heavy ion collision that and implies a new state of matter, quark, gluon, plasma, less interacting than in the nucleus, more as in a liquid. It is found that the relativistic heavy koala, collider, heavy koala, HRHIC, in Brookhaven in the years 2004 to 2010 by four contemporaneous experiments. A quark gluon plasma state has been confirmed at CERN Large Hadron Collider by three experiments, the ALICE, ATLAS and CMS 2010. The continuous electron beam accelerator at Jefferson Lab, the so-called Thomas Jefferson National Accelerator Facility in the Newport, New Virginia, is one of the 10 departments of energy facilities doing research into gluons. Virginia Lab is competing with another facility on Long Island, New York, Brookhaven Laboratory for funds to build a new electron ion collider. Well, you can sort of imagine that the electron would get in and rather than smash it would actually peel off a gluon. So what is a gluon? A gluon is not a meson. So a meson is a quark antiquark. A gluon is a vibration within the actual state. Now, I think there's some conceptual errors here in terms of I think they still have got the Bohr liquid drop nucleus in their head going through. Okay, well that's my reading of gluons. Hopefully you've learnt as much as I have. Now, it's really interesting that the gluons, in terms of the wave, the waves that are coming out, there's one wave which can't exist, nine potential, and eight, and it has spin one associated with it as a singlet state, which is like all bosons. So you can imagine that it goes from one quark to the other, pushing it. How then for just changes a green to a blue and a blue to a green? It's a little bit beyond me, but I can see how this operates in here. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.